As we are continuing on with our series about heaven, how about a hand for the choir? And are you enjoying singing the songs about heaven and thinking about it? I mean, what a day when we all get to heaven. What day of rejoicing that will be. Man, so I hope and pray that you are so excited about it. And if you're not, I hope you will be by the time we get finished with this message. You might say, come, Lord Jesus, just let this be over. Come on now. No, that's okay. I want to share with you a story that comes out of Dr. Jeremiah's book. And he tells this story about Suzanne Edwards. She found a helium balloon in the back of her yard one day that had been deflated, but on it was a picture of a family, a mama, a daddy, and a young son. And next to the picture was this handwritten note that said, Dad, I wish you were here so that we could have fun together. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope you tell God to give me those presents. I hope you're happy in heaven. If you're okay, then tell me. I love you, Alejandro. And Susan began researching and looking for this family. And today we live in the miracle of the internet and social media. And she was able to track down this family and kind of find out the backstory of what's going on. About 3 years earlier, Alejandro's father was killed. And so every year at Christmas time, he and his mother put together a little note, put it on a helium balloon, and sent it up into heaven, hoping that Daddy would get it, that he would read it. And so Susan found this, and she wrote back to little Alejandro. She wrote, a helium balloon floated into my yard today and landed on my heart. I want you to know that heaven is a wonderful place. It's more amazing than you can ever imagine. I'm certain your daddy didn't want to leave you or cause you to feel lonely or sad. He will always love you, and I'm sure you will make him proud. Have a Merry Christmas. What an incredible gift to give to a little boy. And the question I want to ask you as we prepare for this message this morning is, are you excited about heaven? If a balloon lands in your backyard, would you know what to write? And sadly, many times Christians don't even know. They know that if they die, they're going to go to heaven, but they really don't know much about it. But the incredible thing is there's over 600 references to heaven in the scripture. And so we can know more than we even think we know, but there's so much more that we can learn by getting involved. And so we encourage you to be a part of that heaven Bible study starting this Wednesday. Well, I want to share with you the passage this morning. It comes from the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to encourage them and help them to understand the difference about living in this world and living for heaven, living for the world that is yet to come. I'll give you a clue as we're reading this together. When Paul is talking about tents, he's not talking about camping. Okay? He's talking about these earthly bodies that are temporary, and he says we exchange them for something even better. Listen to what he writes to the church at Corinth. Now, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, what can we gather out of this passage? When we're preparing ourselves for heaven and we're thinking about what it's going to be like, and I want you to know it is an exciting faith. We're going to talk about this even next week with our study from Revelation. It's a beautiful place. God created everything. If you look at the world today and say, oh, it's incredible. How about walking out this morning? The temperature is perfect. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The flowers are blooming. The birds are chirping. Just everything seems to be in harmony. Now, if you could capture that and say that's forever, that's what it's going to be like to be in heaven. It's an exciting place. It's a wonderful place, and it's something that we should look forward to. But I want to give you some encouragement along the way. When he was talking about our tents, he's talking about these current bodies. And for everybody who's over 50, I want you to know, we get new bodies. Yay! Yeah. If you're under 50, you don't get it. You don't understand yet. But there's a day coming when you will get it and you will understand. But the thing is that we live in these earthly tents, and we're going to get new bodies. We're going to be talking about super bodies that have superpowers. Things that we can't do now, we'll be able to do then. And we're all going to be recognizable. And what I like to say is that we're going to be our best selves. If you remember the story about little Colton who said heaven is for real, and he went up to heaven and he met some of his family members who had already passed on, those that he didn't know. And when he's trying to describe the people to his dad, he's trying to describe his grandfather, and his dad says, oh, you're talking about my dad. Let me go get a picture. And he went and got the latest picture of his dad, gray hair, glasses, and stooped and bent over using a cane. And he goes, no, that's not him. And dad was confused. And so he thought for a moment, and he went and got a younger picture of his father and said, is this the man you met? Little Colton says, yeah, that's the one. He's got dark hair, he doesn't have glasses, and he's not bent over. Now, I was thinking about this just a few moments ago, that maybe we get our 28-year-old bodies, because maybe that's when I was in tip-top shape, that was in my best form ever, was my 28-year-old self. If you choose 22, you can have a 22-year-old body, but it's your best self. But then I started thinking, we're supposed to recognize, I'm telling you, you would not recognize me in my 28-year-old body. I'm thinking we're going to have signs, you know. Yeah, Pastor Greg. It's like, seriously, that's you? Yeah, I know. You know, we do have pictures to prove it, okay? This body is broken. It's frail. I'm about done with it. I'm ready to move on to something that's even better. We get super bodies. When we share the Apostles' Creed, we talk about the resurrection of the body. We're not just talking about Jesus' resurrection. We're talking about our own resurrection. We will be resurrected, and we will be resurrected into new bodies. We go from these earthly temporary tents into a building built by God that will never fade away, that won't get tired, won't get hungry, won't get lazy. I mean, it's going to be incredible. So we should be excited about our new bodies. And the choir said, amen. Amen. All right. That was a resounding amen. Thank you, guys. All right, number two, what do we do in the meantime? So when we get excited about heaven, we're going to go up there. We're going to see family members that have already passed on before. We're going to be reunited. We're going to sing incredible songs. We're going to worship God. We're going to see God face to face. Man, how exciting is that? Paul says we walk, you know, dimly, or we see dimly now, but then we will know even as we are known. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. So number two is we walk by faith. We put our faith and our trust in God. And when we realize that our eternity is somewhere else, then we begin to look at our lives here and saying, you know, this life, it goes like this. The scripture says we're like a blade of grass. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And it seems like once you cross 30, somebody greases the skids. It goes faster. Amen? But then you live for eternity. And so you say, okay, so I'm going to be somewhere in a new super body worshiping God forever. And it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But the question is, if we're going to live for heaven, the Apostle Paul says, I only want to do one thing. He said, I want to preach Christ and him crucified. He says, I don't care about this body. I want to be away from this body. That's why when the disciples were trying to tell him, don't go to Jerusalem. They're looking to beat you up again. They're going to kill you if you continue to go to Jerusalem and you go in these places where they're looking for you. And Paul says, I'm not worried about that. I mean, you know, he almost put a sign on his shirt that says, go ahead, kill me. What do I care? Because I'm not living for this world. I'm living for the next world. But it also enabled him to go into scary, frightening, dangerous places because he wasn't afraid. Because if his life is required of him, he knows to be away from this body is to be with the Lord. And so we have to begin thinking about that and saying, what do we really want our lives to stand for? What do we really want to be like? This week, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a distant family member who was very ill, had been on a ventilator, and requested to have the ventilator turned off. So we gathered with the family around, and one of the family members, a granddaughter on another side that I didn't know before, was a nurse. And as we're going through this time with this family member, we had an opportunity to talk. I, as a pastor, and I have served as a chaplain with hospice, I've been around many people who were dying and even those who died while I was right there in the room and with them. And we have so many experiences. And she says, you know, I'm a nurse, and I worked on the oncology floor. And so I got to be with many people as they were taking their last breath. She said, but it was incredible. You could tell the difference between those who were Christians and those who were not, because there were some who died in fear, and then there were some who died just simply at peace with God. But as they're in that active dying process, I do believe the windows of their soul are open and they can see things that we cannot see. Anybody ever been with a family member who says, hey, look, there's mama, there's daddy. A lot of us have. And if you haven't, then you need to hear it. It happens. I believe they can see things that we can't see. In fact, when I was with the man and I knew that his time was coming to an end, I started looking around the room. Because as we talked last week, we know that Jesus comes back for them. And I wanted to see Jesus come and come back for him and take him to be with him. We walk by faith and not by sight. But one of the things, and I pray that you don't ever have to experience this, but as he was in the act of dying process, I stayed with him. The family was excused while the nurses did what they needed to do to take him off the ventilator. And I stayed with him, and I prayed with him, and I felt called to start singing to him. God bless you if the last thing you hear is Pastor Greg singing in your ear. I pray that was heavenly for him and not the other way around. But I sang Amazing Grace, and I just began singing it kind of low, and suddenly two of his grandsons decided to be in the room with me, and I said, okay, but here's the deal. If you're going to be with me, you're going to have to back me up. So they started joining in, and we were singing Amazing Grace. And then another song that came to mind as I was with him was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Listen to the words of this. Says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful place, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There's more truth in that song than you will ever know or understand until you're there, until you're focused. There's so many things that has our attention in this life. There's so many things that we worry about. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our retirement. We worry about our children. We worry about our taxes. Hey, can I just get a woo-hoo for just a minute here? There's no taxes in heaven. Woo-hoo! Yeah! How awesome is that going to be? But we worry about those kind of things here. But when you're actively dying, you don't care if the mortgage gets paid or not. You're moving on to a better place where you don't have to worry about it. It's a rent-free zone in heaven. You get a whole new place to yourself. Jesus said, I went to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back so you can be with me. And so the things of earth begin to grow strangely dim. But let me lead up to this. We go to number three, is it makes a difference how we live once we become saved, Once we become a Christian, because number three is that we will be judged. Somebody say, "Rut-row, Rorge." Thank you. All right. And suddenly, there's a silence in the room. We're all about when we all get to heaven. You know, we all get excited about that kind of stuff. But when we find out there's going to be a test, remember when the teacher said that? There's going to be a test. Everybody went, "Oh, yeah. Oh, there's going to be a test in heaven? There's going to be a judgment in heaven?" And the answer is yes. But the judgment that he's talking about here at the end, let me read it again. Verse 10, he says, "For we must all," everybody say all. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him or her for the things while done in the body, whether good or bad." And somebody described it this way. They said it's like having a great big HR file in heaven. And so when you go up to heaven, you are already decided if you're in heaven or hell. You've already made it into heaven. So you can go, whoosh, whoo. But then they open up the big HR file that says, "Since you became a Christian, here's what you've done in your body." There's going to be an accounting. And the question is, what have you done with the gift of Jesus Christ and with the new life that he offers? Are you doing anything good for the building up of the body, which is the building up of the church? And honestly, for many people who were uncomfortable yesterday, but they were willing to get out of their comfort zone and go into the community. And we have no idea, but God does, how important that was, that we got out there. And the most important thing we did was we prayed with the people and we encouraged them that God knows you, loves you, and cares about what you're doing. If they come to be a part of this church, hallelujah. If they come to be a part of another church, hallelujah. Guess what? We're all on the same team. But the fact is, many of the people that were there, the 30 that were there yesterday, had never done anything like it before. Did we get some doors slammed in our faces? Absolutely. But if we reached one, remember, we reached over 1,000 people yesterday. Somebody had to get something good out of it. And if we reach one life for Jesus Christ, everything that we did in that hour was worth it. Can I get an amen? And so the question is, what are we doing with our lives while we are here in this body? Dr. Jeremiah says that when we become Christians, it changes our perspective. We begin living for heaven. And so we use our spiritual gifts. We have our cornerstone classes. I pray that you're taking them because it's so important for us to get the head knowledge so that we can get the heart knowledge, so that we can understand. And it makes a difference what we do with our time. So some of you might be panicking because here's what they do, the HR file. They have two piles. One is the good pile, one is the bad pile. How many of you grew up with a burn pile? Yeah, a lot of people did. It just went out back, and they just burned everything. I had family members that if they didn't like it, if they got a Christmas gift they didn't like, guess where it went? In the burn pile. Just poosh. Well, think about it. There's a burn pile, and there's a keep pile. And they're going through our file, and they're going, "No, no, no." Yeah, ding, got one right. We got a good one. Okay, we put it over here. No, no, no. Well, all this stuff gets burned up. It doesn't matter. It's all behind us. But then we get crowns. We get jewels. We get the things that are true and good and noble, the things that last forever. And the only thing that lasts forever are the people who God created. And so we have to invest ourselves in the people around us. We want everybody to know the gospel. We want everybody to know the good news. But then you know what happens when we get all our crowns? Some of you guys, you're going to be loaded down with all these jewels and crowns. And some of you might be thinking, cool, they're going to have a lot of stuff in heaven. No, you know what we then do? When we come before Jesus, we're standing before Jesus, we all lay them down at his feet. Why? Because we can't do anything without him. And so we are so grateful for his love, for his compassion, for his mercy, that he gets all the glory and we do not. And so I want to ask you that question. Do you want your life really to count for something? It's not enough to just say, I got my get out of hell free card. It's to say, I truly want to be excited about my spiritual life. I want to be excited about heaven. And I want to change my life today so that I can have things that will last for all of eternity. Not that I would get stuff, but because I want to be a part of God's heavenly eternal kingdom. So what do we do? Number four, reflect, repent. We don't like to take time to reflect. Some of us are so busy in our lives that we don't take this time to stop and to think about our lives, to think about what we're doing, to think about what where we're going, and to think about, are we really investing ourselves in things that truly matter? It's not the things of the world. It's not about bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger toys, bigger retirements. It's not about that. It's saying, God, I want one thing. I want to live for you and for your kingdom. And so then we need to invite. We need to invite the power of the Holy Spirit to pour more of his Spirit into us. We can do nothing on our own. Paul says while we're in those bodies, we groan because we know there's a better life. We know that there's a better body that's coming, and we long to be with Jesus. We want to be with him. But it's not about having to do something else. Some of us are exhausted. We can't think of having to do one more thing. But here's the thing. Why, the Apostle Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And the very things I want to do, I don't do. It's because we're frail, because we're human, because we're tired. But we can have a supernatural power, an energy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And he comes into our life. He convicts us of the ongoing sin that's in our life and saying, you want to get rid of that. And he says, you want to be focusing on these things. And you will want to do the things as he comes into your life and as he changes you and he empowers you to live for him. And finally, I want to finish with this. It's kind of a cute story. Every time we go to a celebration of life service, a funeral service, sometimes we're sad, depending on how close we are to the individual. Sometimes it's a distant family member. But every time we go is an opportunity to remember that as they are, I soon will be. And so we have to reflect on our own eternal lives and say, where am I going? What am I doing? And so somebody wrote on their epitaph. Somebody told me yesterday, they said, after I preached this last night, Saturday night, somebody said, yeah, I want it on my epitaph that says, I told you I was sick. But this one wrote on there something very thought-provoking and meaningful. They wrote, pause a moment as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon will be. So prepare for death and follow me. We need to be prepared. It's not something to avoid. It's something to embrace. It's something that if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to live for. It's something, yes, I'm going to be there. I don't have to worry about it. Death doesn't even frighten me, because Paul says to be away from the body is to be with the Lord. But remember, not everybody goes to heaven. Heaven is not the default. Hell is. And so somebody with a sense of humor came along later and scratched in the bottom of the headstone, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Right? And so, my friends, I pray that God's blessing be upon you. I pray that death is not something that's the evil inevitable. It's something that's inevitable because so far it's still 100%. Everybody dies. We're not meant for this world. We're not meant for this life. And we are certainly not meant for this body. Can I get an amen? We're meant to be with him forever and ever and ever. And I pray that as we continue to go through this series, that you continue to have the joy and the excitement in your lives, but also to become the fully alive, on fire people for Jesus Christ, so that we can get out into the world and build his kingdom. Amen.